we're expect. I feel like they're going to have home field advantage in some ways in this because, you know, Vegas is so kind of neutral. You know, you got there are hardcore Raider fans. Like, you know, we talk about Oakland closing for the A's and
LA too. There's a little bit of LA Raider fans in there as well. Yeah, and that's not a bad flight.
They got about 10 teams over there. So what's the difference?
LA to Vegas is a puddle jumper.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But anyway, I can't wait to hear what our crowd sounds like in Vegas because I think it's going to be pretty good.
All right. So you bring up can't wait to hear something. I got to hear about this. So yesterday was the day.
D-Day?
No, the
T-H-E.
Yes. Nay. Where you walked up to the stage that you did this on the first time.
That is true. I had a kazoo the last time.
And then proceeded to influence the masses as you found your way into the Heights High Hall of Fame.
It's very exciting. I know I can feel all your love just oozing through the airwaves right now.
All right, so seeing as though a lot of us who are listening, including myself, will probably never find their way into a high school Hall of Fame, how was it? How did it go? It's a hell of an honor. You should be proud of yourself.
It's really cool. I mean, you know, my dad went there, my brother, my sister, my sister-in-law, my aunt. Like, we had so many people that have gone through Heights. And then just not only that, but, like, all the people I went to school with. And, you know, I just have great memories. I still, like, the majority of my close friends are guys I went to high school with. Like, you know, it's you can go 6 months without talking to them or 6 years without talking to them. And then 2 seconds later, you know, it's right back where you were, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah, the best kind of friends you have in your life.
Yeah, you just don't even think about
it. Pick right up right where you left off.
So, I don't know. It was weird because it was like the theme of the whole night was, you know, there were these nine other folks that got inducted too. And it was really neat because everybody talked about their, like, no one really talked about what they were doing now. And they did these fantastic videos about, like, why they're probably in. And, you know, for me, it was, I mean, obviously I'm lucky. I'm an idiot behind a microphone and I've been for, you know, 30 years here. And so a couple of people can hear me every once in a while and they listen to what we have to say. But, you know, more than that, it's, you know, I think my relationship with the Special Wish, it's my relationship with Life Bank. It's obviously my relationship with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. You know, all those things that I do when I walk out of the door of this room and I'm not thinking about sports or doing something else. I'm like, let's do something for the community. And, you know, Ahmad Crump was in, he got in yesterday and it was just, he was like super emotional when he got up to the podium.
That's very cool.
You know, he starts crying. He's like, can you guys just help me out? And he had the entire crowd go, Cleveland. And it was just, it was really neat, but there were just like the whole group was just fantastic. Robert Braylock was another guy that got in. He was class of 27. I was talking with him last night. Vanessa Mayer, who's a doctor here in town, Steve Potash, Dr. Benjamin Piper, man, this guy is like the smartest human being I think I've ever, like multiple degrees from Harvard, and cool. He's living in Africa right now. And
that's so cool.
He's working with the Gates Foundation. Randy Hipshman is another guy that was down there that set up this baseball league down in Florida for, you know, disabled kids. And
that's
like
killer.
Just kind of, and then there was a rabbi in there, really Sharon
cool.
Henry.
Really, really cool.
Danny Merritt was another one. And then, Neil Smith, man, we had a Grammy Award winner in this class. And then Steve Potash, I don't know, anytime you drive by Overdrive right off there, like they are like worldwide, just this massive company around Northeast Ohio. But the biggest thing for me was the kid that introduced me, and it just chokes me up because I think about working with his dad. So I don't know if anybody remembers Brian McIntyre, who worked for a long time at Channel 5, and he was at ONN too, and I think that's where I first kind of met him. He was taken from us way too soon. He's been gone 12 years right now. Wow. So I get a call last week from the kid who, like, there were 10 people up there that could, 10 kids that introduce you when you come up, and I get a call from Gavin and this kid Gavin, and I'm like, and he's like asking me questions, and where he's trying to figure out how to do my introduction, and he's like, oh, my dad used to work in local TV too. And I was like, really, what's your last name? And he goes, McIntyre. And I was just like, wow. And so it was just
wow.
It's on Facebook, or it's on YouTube too if you want to go out and watch it. But it's this like fascinating,
oh, wait, well,
surreal,
we'll find drops out of it that we can use out of context.
Fine. But it was just this surreal moment where, you know, I knew his father, and like Brian was, you know, I got to be honest, the broadcast news world is just, in a lot of ways, it's the most uplifting thing you can do, but in a lot of ways, it's garbage, and there are a lot of bad people in it. It's not bad. It's just like the thing that bothered me the most is I think I went through my career doing local news was just how in the beginning, it just seemed like a lot of people that wanted to tell good stories and get vested in what they were saying on the air. By the time I was done, it was about, oh my God, I got to do my makeup and get on Facebook Live so I can look good. And by the way, there's a major story going on down the street, but I'm not leaving the building to go find out what's going on. I'll just read what people are tweeting. Like, the whole investment in journalism has gone sideways. And so, you know, there are a lot of, like, I don't want to say it's lazy, but it's lazy. So, but Brian McIntyre is like the exact opposite of that. Like,
that's cool.
guy that walked in the room and lit up the room and just was, he was awesome, awesome to work with, always in a good mood, always smiling. And then, man, he was just taken from us way too young. And then, you know, you're having this conversation with his kid and he's like, that's my dad. And then I was talking to his mom, Megan. And so to me, like the whole day was just this whole kind of complete circle and just this bond now that I have with Gavin that I'll have for a lifetime now.
That's really cool. Well,
so I was really excited.
Congratulations,
about that.
Man. Congratulations.
I did get the chance to drop a Heights High in the middle of it too.
Oh yeah. We'll get there.
So what'd you guys do to me yesterday? Because there was a morning event, and by the way, I talked to like 15 classes at Heights yesterday.
Oh,
like,
well,
there's so many brilliant kids at that school.
Sit down, children. Let me educate you.
That is no, it didn't go that way. They asked a ton of questions.
Let me enrich your lives.
Are you done?
Basically that. That's basically what we did.
That is. Oh, that's what you guys did.
Okay. Basically, that's what
I thought you were saying. That's what I did yesterday.
No. That's what we did to you.
I'm sure. So here's the deal. So we have a dinner last night, and so I'm sitting at the table, and yeah, the other really, really like cool thing about this was, and I'm sure that everybody like there was a teacher that probably motivated everybody that went to any school, and so. You know, I think back to, you know, what motivated me when I was in school. And I had a English teacher, Sylvia Stewart. She was Miss Sylvia Stewart. That was her name. And she, like, we had homeroom back in the day. Those folks that are old enough to remember. You didn't have homeroom, did you?
We had a homeroom, but it wasn't like a daily class in high school.
Yeah, we had to go in there. So she was our homeroom teacher. But, man, she pushed the you-know-what out of me when I was in her classes. Because she thought I had, a creative mind. And to be able to put that on paper and become a better writer, she was one that pushed me to the point where to try to be who I am and as goofy as I am, but to be able to express myself in different ways. And so when I walked in yesterday and, you know, I was with my family and I had some friends that were there in the morning and then all of a sudden she was sitting there and I was just like, oh my God, you made it. So Sylvia Stewart Lumpkin,
awesome.
I still call her Miss Stewart, but then she came to the dinner with us last night and it was fantastic. Everything was really cool. And I can't tell. Yeah, I can't say enough to the Heights Foundation and a group called the Image Makers. And thank you. I appreciate
Congratulations.
It.
Honestly. 100% honesty. Congratulations.
But as Phil Dawson said last week at the Browns Legends, this is not a me thing. This is a we thing. And, you know, if anything, you know, you're listening to me ramble for like 10 minutes here. Just take 2 minutes to find a teacher that helped you somewhere along the way and just drop them an email and say thank you. Because that to me, that was as important as anything, because there was this common theme where everybody kept talking about the teachers they had. And you spend so much time with them throughout the day and how they affect you. So I don't know, if one person writes one email to one teacher that thanked them in a job that's thankless and doesn't make anywhere near what it should, do that, because you can make an educator's day today.
All right. So we had something happen yesterday. You were talking about the media, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed to blow up a little bit.
Okay, what happened?
So help me out here, because you have a lot more experience and all that stuff than I do. And I mean, that complimentary, that's not meant to be anything more.
I am a Hall of Famer now.
You are a Hall of Famer. That's right. So Amari Cooper went up to the podium.
Okay.
And the big conversation has been this week about, it. Oh, you people screenshot things on Twitter. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's happening in these rooms. You don't understand these films.
Talking about fans or media?
Media.
Oh.
So Amari Cooper said this yesterday. Help me out with this.
Okay.
Is this something we should be offended by? Is this something we should be mad about? I'm going to play it for you. You decide.
So I saw this. I was watching. Daryl had this up. You know, when he initially said that, I was like, I kind of understand what he's saying. I get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning the media. I'll never say anything. I mean, look,
no.
We are far from perfect.
We are not infallible.
And people make mistakes all the time. I think in the beginning, he was trying to say, hey, look, you know, this is, this is, I'm going to try to equate it to your world, but, you know, the scrutiny we're under right now, The problem is when you decide to accept the fame, fortune, and glory of being a professional athlete, you know what comes along with that, and you're going to be criticized. I always laugh when I think of history of the world, and they have the first artist, and then they have the first art critic, right?
Good point.
And that, as funny as that is, that's real. So if you want to be a professional athlete, you're saying, well, I want to be on TV. I want to, because let's face it, TV's paying a ton of the money that you're making right now. That's where a lot of it's coming from. But you also want the fans to like you. So there's a couple different roads here. I don't have any problem with what Amari said. Let me be first and foremost on that. But I do think that when you sign that contract, you understand what's going along with that. And guess what? If you drop a couple passes, part of that is history of the world and the first art critic. Because you're going to get scrutinized. It's a part of the deal. Same as me. I'll be, you know, he wants to do that. I'll say the same thing. Hey, if I say something stupid on the air and you call me out on it, okay, I earned it. And guess what? I'm going to sit here and take it 95% of the time because I knew that when I signed up and told Poobah I wanted to be on this station. So I think when you're a professional football player, you better find yourself understanding that some of the things that normal people get to live through and don't have to have that kind of public scrutiny, you gave that up and you get to cash that check every couple weeks. I'm not saying that it's always right either. Because I'll tell you, the media is wrong a lot of times. That's where we're at on that. All right, let's come back. We're going to talk to Brian Anderson. He'll understand that. He'll know everything we're talking about. So we're talking about him, about not only Major League Baseball, which is what he's doing right now as a color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, but we're also going to get into the Browns with him as well. So Brian Anderson, BA, super friend of the show, next right here at Baskin and Fo-